Good morning. If you would, turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua chapter 7. If you're not already turned there, turn there. And we're in our study of the book of Joshua. In chapter 1, we saw God's commission to Joshua to take the children of Israel across the Jordan and take possession of the promised land. And then in chapter 2, we looked at Rahab. A woman of faith. We saw this woman who went from a life of shame to Hebrews 11 Hall of Fame. What a remarkable lady she was. And an example of faith to us in the New Testament as we see her in the book of James, in the book of Hebrews, and even in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1. And then last week, we looked at chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6, and we looked at the defeat of Jericho. Today we're going to be looking at chapter 7, and the lesson is titled today, There is Sin in the Camp. There is sin in the camp. Now verse 1 was read just a few moments ago. Verse 1 is a rationale for what follows. So it's important that we understand verse 1. When we understand verse 1, then we understand what follows in verse 1. But I want us to look at verse 1 again, but I also want you to notice how verse 1 begins. It begins with the word but. And anytime you see the word but, you know that something different's about to happen. All right, we're going to go in a different direction here. So Israel is fresh off this victory at Jericho. Things couldn't be better for the children of Israel. And then chapter 7 verse 1 says, But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now, what were the accursed things? If you recall back in chapter 6, God told the children of Israel, when you conquer Jericho, you are not to take any of the spoils for yourselves. Those spoils are to go into the treasury of the Lord. We know the Bible teaches that the Lord gets the first fruits of everything. He was to have the first fruits of the womb, the first fruits of the flock, the first fruits of the crops. The first fruits belonged unto the Lord. So back in chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, this is what God said. And you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the whole camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. But what did Achan do? And those are two long A's there in Hebrew, so it is Achan. And so he actually stole some of the possessions that belonged to the Lord, those things that were supposed to go into the treasury. He took a Babylonian garment. He took some silver. He took a wedge of gold that belonged to God. Consequently, Israel has sinned, and God's anger is over the people. It's interesting how verse 1 starts and how the chapter ends. In verse 26, the middle part of verse 26 says, So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. So chapter 7 verse 1 begins with the Lord being very angry over Achan taking of the accursed things, and then it ends with his anger being subsided. So let's look at what happened. Beginning at verse 2 now. It says, Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven. And that is A, by the way. In Hebrew, the Aleph, which is an A, is silent. And so it only has a sound if there's a vowel under it. There is a vowel under it. It's a small, it's an A class vowel. It's a short A. And then there's a Y that follows it. So it really would be A, not AI, but we're going to call it AI because that's what we have in our Bibles. However, it is A. And so, just as Joshua had done for Jericho, he sent spies. Remember, they went to Rahab's house. And we talked about that. He does this again as they are planning to attack A or AI. And so they send spies to spy out AI to gather this intelligence information, this information that they would need in order to conquer the people of AI. He says, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel. You know, the Hebrew word Beit is the word house, and El is the word for God. So the house of God. And spoke to them saying, this is what he said, go up, spy out the country. And so the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, notice what they say, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people, for the people of Ai are few. So when the spies come back, they say, hey, this is going to be an easy task. This is going to be a cakewalk. This is going to be no problem whatsoever. In fact, Joshua, let's just send the JV team. We don't need to send all the men. Let's just send a few thousand up there. 2,000 or 3,000 should be sufficient. This town is small. In fact, it's not much larger than the spelling of its name, Ai. Right? It's a small place. And so Joshua says, okay, that's what we'll do. But look at what happens. Verse 4. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people. But they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Now, there's a few things to unpack here. But notice they go up against this small, teeny, tiny little community, which should have been a cakewalk with their JV team. And they end up turning tail and running. Because the men of Ai fought against them and overcame them, and 36 men, Israelites, died. And the Israelites took flight, and they run back to Joshua. And notice that it says that their hearts had melted. What a change has occurred here. Because remember, as we read in chapter 6, and prior to that, even in chapter 2, the people of the land of Canaan, their hearts were melting. They were in fear of the people of God. Now it's the Israelites whose hearts are melting, and they are in fear of the people, this tiny little people called Ai. And look what Joshua does. And Joshua, he tore his clothes. He fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us to the hands of the Amorites and to destroy us? Is that why you did it, God? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. In verse 8, O Lord, and what shall we say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land will hear it, and they will surround us, and they will cut off our name from the earth. And then, what will you do for your great name? In other words, he's saying, Lord, this is not only going to be bad on us, but it's going to be a bad look on you too. Because you're not going to look like the all-powerful God that brought your people across the Jordan and are conquering the land. But notice what God says. Verse 10. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have taken some of the accursed things, and they have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they became doomed to destruction. And neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. So notice what happened. So when he's on his face crying and boo-hooing over the defeat at Ai, God says, Joshua, get up and stand on your feet. Israel has sinned. Now there's a problem. There's sin in the camp. That's the reason why they couldn't stand against Ai. It wasn't that they sent sufficient men. That had nothing to do with it. It was because they are now a cursed people. Now I realize one has sinned, but one has sinned here. The nation has sinned. It's corporate punishment. God is punishing all the people for the sin of Achan. And so his sin caused all of Israel to be guilty of sin before God. And so sin is the problem. The Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Moses writes in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure that your sin will find you out. Now we often think, well, nobody's going to know, right? Listen, your sin will always find you out. What is done in the darkness will come out into the light. You might think it's in the darkness, but it's not in the darkness. God knows, and others will know as well. You cannot hide sin. Sin is the problem. One man's sin, and there are 36 dead men. One man's sin in Israel's army is routed. One man's sin in Israel is shamed before the nations. Folks, sin is bad. And that's one of the things the Bible communicates very powerfully. Sin is bad. How bad is sin, you ask? Just look at the cross. That's all you have to do to see how bad sin is. It's because of sin that Israel cannot stand. As long as there is sin in the camp, Israel will not be able to face their enemies. Listen, the same is true today. As long as there's sin in the camp, the church will never be able to do what God wants it to do. As long as there is sin in the camp, we will not be as powerful as we could be otherwise. Sin needs to be weeded out. That's why we're called in the Bible when we sin to repent. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're told to come before God and confess our sin when we sin. And we do sin. But yet also, we're told how to deal with sin when people don't want to deal with sin. It's called church discipline. And the Bible calls us when there is sin in the camp to deal with it. Because the Bible says a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You can't let sin go unchecked. You can't just let sin exist in the church. And so God says you have to deal with the sin. And unless you deal with the sin, I will not be with you anymore. And that's one of the other major consequences of sin. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, verse 2, but your sins have made a separation between you and your God, Isaiah tells us. And so that's what has happened. And that's why Israel is in the situation that they are in. There is sin in the camp and it needs to be dealt with. So what will Joshua do? What will God do? Well, God says, Joshua, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you weed out the guilty party. We're going to get to the perpetrator here. And we are going to cleanse the congregation of the sin. And by the way, Jesus does the same thing today. And there are churches all over America whose doors close. And one of the reasons their doors close is because God closes the doors. Because listen, if we're not going to obey God and do what God says do, God's not going to let the church exist. As He tells the church in Revelation chapter 3, if you don't repent and do the first works, I will remove your candlestick from its place. And I believe that Jesus is Lord of the church, and He still removes candlesticks. He still removes churches. He is Lord of the church. If we don't deal with sin, He will deal with sin. And so He tells us what to do and how to deal with it. But if we refuse to deal with it, He will deal with it. And so in verse 13, He says, "Get up and sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribe. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes, then shall come according to families. And then the family which the Lord takes shall come by households. And the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. And then it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing, notice, shall be burned with fire. And all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing into Israel." So there's going to be severe judgment falling on Achan, on the perpetrator, the one who has caused Israel to sin and fall before their enemies. So in verse 16, "So Joshua rose early in the morning, and he brought he brought Israel by their tribes." And notice, the tribe of Judah is taken. So notice the process of elimination that God uses to get to the guilty person. And then he brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of Zerites. And then he brought the family of the Zerites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And see, his sin has found him out. The guilty perpetrator is now known. So verse 19. "Now Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, I beg you, give glory to the God of Israel, make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done, and do not hide it from me.' And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them, I took them, and they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it.'" So I want you to notice there three verbs in verse 21. I saw, I coveted, and I took. And that's exactly what you see in Genesis chapter 3. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she desired it or coveted it, and she took it, and she ate and gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. This is how sin often works in our lives. We see it, we covet it, and we take it. We go after it. And so we have to be careful and recognize. And we need to keep a guard against sin in our lives. You remember when God spoke to Cain and he said, "Hey, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must master it," right? In other words, it's ready to spring on you. It's ready to jump on you. It's ready to take over you. But you have to make sure you don't allow that to happen. And that's good advice for all of us in this room this morning. So notice verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkey, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and notice, they burned them with fire. And they had stoned them with stones. So it wasn't just Achan. It was Achan and his family and all that he stole. Everything was burned. And so there's this severe punishment that comes upon Achan because he had taken of the things that were to go into the treasury of the Lord. He has stolen from the Lord. He caused Israel to sin. He caused Israel to be an embarrassment among the nations. So verse 26 says, they raised over him a great heap of stones. Still to this day, so that the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place had been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Notice when the Lord turned from his anger. When they dealt with the perpetrator. When they dealt with the sin that was in the camp. Then God's anger subsided. Listen, I realize the consequences are severe, but the consequences of sin are severe because it cost Jesus Christ his life. The reason that he went to the cross and had to die was because of sin. If he hadn't done that, we would have went to hell. We would have been lost. And so the Bible's clear, the wages of sin is death. And therefore, Achan had to die. And so, they eradicate the perpetrator. The sin is taken out of the camp. God is no longer angry with his people, and now God is once again with his people. And he gives these words in chapter 8. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you, and arise and go up to Ai, and see, I have given it into your hand, the king of Ai, and his people, his city, his land, and you shall do to Ai as it and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoils and its cattle shall you take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it." So now they are going to be able to take of the spoils. The first fruits of Jericho went to God. Now the fruits, the spoils of Ai will then go to God's people. This is the way God planned it. If Achan had just waited, if he had just waited a little bit longer, he would have received spoils, the spoils of Ai. But he didn't. Because he saw and he coveted and he took. And he caused Israel to sin. Now I'm not going to go all the way through chapter 8. But I do want to just show this. That they do defeat Ai. God gives them a plan. He says, you go and you lay in wait. And you go out against them as you did before. And when they come out against you, you turn tail and run like you did before. And when they chase you, then the men lying in wait will then go into the city and they will take the spoils and they will burn the city down. And then they would turn on the people of Ai and destroy them. And that's exactly what they did. The reason I wanted to go into chapter 8 is because I wanted you to see, beginning at verse 30. This is really important because there is a renewal of the covenant that takes place. The people of God recommit themselves to God. And this is vital. And it's vital for anyone who sins. So in chapter 8, beginning at verse 30, "Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel at Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. An altar of stone, of whole stones, over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings before the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel," notice, "he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written." Now, imagine, how long would that take? How long would it take for you just to handwrite the law of Moses? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. How long would that take you? Now, they're doing this in stone. How long did it take Joshua to inscribe the whole law in stone? And then they went on to read the law. So not only did he write it, he then read it to the people. And there was a rededication, if you will. Now, why did they do this? Look in Deuteronomy 27, real quick. We're almost finished. Deuteronomy 27. They did this because this is what Moses told them to do before they entered the land. In chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, verse 1 says, "Now Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today. And it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God has given you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and whitewash them with lime. And you shall write on them all the words of the law. And when you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God has given you, the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God, the Lord of your fathers promised you." And so the reason Joshua did this is because this is what Moses instructed the children of Israel to do when they entered into the promised land. And so they recommitted themselves to the Lord. So that brings us to a very important point in our assembly this morning. If there is sin in the camp, if there is sin in your life, it needs to be brought before the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you have to come forward and confess what you've done. But I am saying, unless it's public. If it's public, then it should be a public thing. But if it's a private thing, then I think you need to go before God and you need to confess that sin to God. You cannot thrive as one of God's people in sin. You can't do it. God won't allow you to. He won't allow you to prosper. Read Joshua 1 again. He told them, keep the law of Moses. He made it very, very clear to follow and don't stray from his ways. When we do wrong, we're supposed to come before God and we're supposed to confess our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 9. And so if there's sin in your life, if there's sin in the church, it needs to be addressed. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be weeded out. Because as long as sin exists, we will never be the people that God calls us to be. We will never do the work that God calls us to do. And folks, we're guilty of sin in lots of ways. And I know one of the great sins is the sin of not fulfilling the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. It's one of the reasons why churches are closing their doors all over, is they haven't been faithful to the Great Commission. And they're dying. And they don't have no choice but to close the doors. And so evangelism is the life's blood of the church. If we're not bringing people in, eventually the people here grow old and they die. And then we reach a point where, okay, we're going to have to join up with another church or we're going to have to close our doors. And so maybe we're guilty of just not being obedient to the Great Commission. Maybe we're guilty of sin of lust. Maybe it's the sin of pornography. Maybe it's the sin of covetousness. There could be a variety of sins in our lives. The thing I'm saying is we need to deal with it. And this text is calling us to recommit ourselves to God. That's what you do when you find yourself in sin. You recommit yourself to Him. And maybe you feel the need to do that this morning. If you do, then we urge you to come and do that as we stand and sing.